politics of Earth, today, only a cesspool. One object of this spiritual dispensation is to modify political conditions. There came a form having appearance of a lady dressed in white, and having a girdle about the waist and sparkling gems disseminated over the garments, and especially in the waistband or girdle, and this spirit said, "I am known as Lady Geneva. On coming into your conditions I find your country all agitated about politics, a seemingly great political commotion. And very many of your people are, all their time, absorbed in politics, and these commotions reach many spirits who are lingering in earth conditions." 648. "But in our sphere, we have no politics. While many people of your world, and especially of your country, suppose politics to be the great solemn desideratum for contemplation of mortal man, we regard it as mere child's play, yea, hardly so much as that. We see nothing but hobby, nothing but something for excitement. People should turn attention to other things and let the cesspool of politics and political excitement all alone. People should avoid the politics of your earth today as a black-winged monster boding evil to the people, but they are not capable now of seeing and realizing the wonderful monstrosity. They are not capable of seeing or suspecting anything but necessity for politics. People should turn attention to other things, but they are not capable now. Sometime they may be able to see the truth of what I am telling you. There are so many on our side, also, who have not yet learned that the politics of Earth may in reality be but political cesspools, but my good friends, we are making converts every day, and notwithstanding the stubborn disposition of some, after a while they begin to think, and little by little, they make headway, and at last, they see the light. Then they wish to return to Earth, and tell the people there about the better way. But I am losing strength," and the spirit returned into cabinet a few moments and came again, saying, "And when their eyes are opened they find themselves happily disappointed, and one of these is now one of our number." 649. "You may think it strange, but it is true, that very many ladies are hard to approach because they have such great reverence for what father and mother said. When we tell them what we have learned, it is apparent to be different from their childhood teachings around the family altar, and they bid us begone with our idle tales. Father never told me that, mother never taught that, my good old father and mother never would have told me wrong, but by and by these, too, are led to see the true light." Characteristics of persons in earth life and spirit life differ but little, but when in the higher spheres the work of conversion is finished and all are as one great common harmonious family, and we return to lower spheres, and the earth, to lead the needy ones on to higher and higher planes until they become one with us. 650. "Do not suppose we are separated by space or distance, we are separated only by different conditions, but one was taught of heaven, another of heaven, but very different the one from the other, and the old idea of a local, material heaven is hard to eradicate from some spirits. By and by they learn that heaven is a condition that each at last works out for him or herself. I do not desire to leave the impression that we arrive at a finality, by any means, on the contrary. There is no finality, but we do arrive at a point where we can travel on in mutual assistance, as one great universal brotherhood, ascending in relative conditions, higher and higher as infinitude of epochs shall be rolling, rolling, rolling away, and we thank you, sir." Theo's W.H.Y. No More Report of Higher Spheres. A typewriting dictated. 651. "How often we hear mortals ask, why don't the spirits tell us more about the higher spheres, describe the beautiful homes they talk so much about? What is the use of pictures to a person who cannot see, or of descriptions to those who cannot understand? No spirit can reveal anything to those who have not the spiritual power to at least apprehend, and in a measure to comprehend a dwelling place of unselfish love. The description of the higher spiritual spheres, though it were given by one of the highest spirits, would be unintelligible to the carnal mind." 652. "The things we can tell you are these: whatever of the spirit spheres you are prepared for when you leave the earth plane, that spiritual sphere you shall have. Your homes will be such as you have made yourself. If your highest joy is counting hoards of money or bedecking yourself with precious jewels, none but yourself can make you more spiritual. You shall each find yourself in your own home, stamped with your own individuality and living your own life. Kindred souls mingle together here as they did upon earth, sympathizing with and enjoying the society of others. The homes here are as varied as upon earth, but each one is his or her own architect. 653. There are many spheres of duty, and all fulfill their duty as they see it. To some the highest spiritual life is full of activity. No such heaven will appeal to the tired earth soul. He will long for some friendly haven of rest, and he shall find it. To those in bondage, heaven is freedom. To the sick, it is health. To the cripple, it is strength and unlimited space in which to wander. To the tired laborer, it is eternity semicolon a place without time, where bells do not ring, or whistles blow, and where there is no late, no early, no thought or care of time. He will find that there is no more wear and tear or fatigue for him. No matter how many journeys he may make, he will not feel tired and worn as upon earth. 654. Duties there must be where more than one are gathered together, but they will be such duties that it will be your greatest happiness to perform. 655. The more noble the soul, the more encumbered it is with the earthly body. It is an uneven partnership, that of an immortal spirit and an earthly body. How often the willing spirit is unable to keep the tired body at its many tasks, and what a release when dissolution takes place and the spirit is able to ascend higher. 656. What you have gained and need will be yours in the spirit spheres. There is the closest love and quickest sympathy between the earth plane and the spirit world, but we cannot make you understand what our lives really are, unless you should be exact counterparts of each other, which is not the case. You will each find a different home, suited to you and your work. Your work now lies upon the earth plane, and it is for you to perform the duties allotted to you. You may not be able to give the ignorant, learning, or the hungry, food, but you can inspire their spirits to nobler, better deeds, while someone else, who is able, provides food and learning. Let them feel that they have your love and sympathy, and let them see that, even if the clouds of adversity hang low over your head, that your soul is able to ascend to higher, better spheres. It is sweet to know that you do not travel the stony path of life alone, to feel that, no matter how rough or dark the way may grow, you can, if you will, stretch forth your hand and feel an answering clasp, a clasp that makes your heart grow braver. The Creator seems so far away to most that, unless they can have the love and help of each other, they feel deserted. It will ever be impossible for the finite to grasp the infinite. There are thousands who walk secure in the consciousness of leaning on the strong arm of the Lord, when, in reality, they are cheered and guided by some unseen friend. It is this spirit that gives to them the feeling of sympathy and strength that so ably assists them through life. 657. The inhabitants of the spirit world are not bound by dogmas or creeds semicolon that is, those who have been here long enough to get rid of their earth ideas, and they go forth to do good wherever they may find an opportunity, whether it be in the name of Christ or humanity. The main thing is to do good to yourself and others. Your ideas of good today may not be the same tomorrow. Therefore, do not attempt to lay down a rule for your friends to follow. Let each be a law unto himself, for each must suffer for his own actions and not for the actions of others. Signed, Theo 658. A materialization stood before the circle having the appearance of a woman dressed in white, girdled by waistband fastened in front by some metallic plate substance figured as an emblem of a star, and the 5 points set in silvery sparkling jewels, and a headdress having in front a burnished copper-colored plate cut in shape of a heart. Spirits call it topaz, indicating the spirit to be a member of an order of the star circle called the Brave Heart Band. This spirit said, "I am one of the Brave Heart Band of the star circle. Our home in the spirit world is grand and glorious. You should prepare yourselves while on earth to pass as near to our home as possible when you leave the mortal form." 659. Then came out a materialization very tall, or at least 6 feet tall, moved about in the room for a little time, then dematerialized downwardly until entirely out of sight, and in a moment, at another point in the room, on the carpet, a form commenced and gradually arose and unfolded to the form of a tall man, and was recognized by the circle to be the same personality that had a moment before gone down. A. Then one claiming to be Musselman 660. William Speer being in the circle. His son Charles, a resident in spirit life, came out in very brilliant makeup, addressing Mr. Speer, said, "Good evening, Father Comer, do you see me, Father?" "Oh, yes, Charles, I see you very plainly and fully recognize you." And this spirit Charles Speer began dematerializing at the feet, the body following down, until the whole form was invisible, and had every appearance of having gone down through the floor, and in a moment, this same spirit gradually arose from the carpet, that is comma question mark made up its form on the carpet, gradually arising to full size, giving appearance of coming up through the floor, and then immediately descended, bidding his further goodbye as he went down, and in a moment, was out of our sight, and Wesley and Sam closed the seance, Wesley taking a glass of water to the medium. Seance number 39, November 9, 1902, 661. Present as the circle, Mrs. J. B. Lamb, Mrs. Maggie Newman, Mrs. B. House, Mr. C. V. N. House, Joseph Simpson, Dr. Sihas, Charles Reader and Lawrence Reader. After the opening exercises were concluded, a spirit came from the cabinet, giving his name as Thomas, and spoke substantially as follows, 662. This is very wonderful, wonderful indeed, that we are here, and more wonderful still, that it is possible for us to communicate with mortals after we do return. I heard of it and thought if this be possible for others it must be so for me, and here I am, and it is glorious that I can stand here and talk to you. Had you told me of this before I came to spirit life, I would have laughed at you. What a wonderful comfort it would be to people if they would know of this greatest of all truths before they pass to this side. So many come to this side suddenly, one moment in the mortal body and the next moment crushed out of it to awaken in a new world. To these and such as they, it could be of inestimable worth to know of these things before coming here, and in many cases, such knowledge might be the means of preventing the casualty, or of prolonging the stay in the mortal, and of assisting to light in the spirit spheres. So many theories, false all the way through, that cannot compete with the facts they meet face to face over here. Friends, it affords me pleasure and joy unspeakable to know that I am an eternal fact, and can disclose in my weak weight to some of earth, the great fact that life continues and that mere theories cannot stand out successfully against eternal fact. I was ignorant and weak when I came into this unknown country, and was not prepared to advance, until I had learned here, what I should have known before I came, but at last I overcame, and am happy in trying to lead people to the truth, the light. 663. Here the guides inform us that the portrait in oil colors is a picture of Lady Geneva. 664. During the waiting hour an article in the Kansas City Star giving account of the asphyxiation of a minister and young lady at Omaha, Nebraska, attracted attention of someone of the circle and the article was read in hearing of the several who had arrived for the seance, and this article opened up a general conversation upon the scandal of free love brought upon spiritualism by the Woodhull movement, and now comes 665. Professor Denton with his say upon the subject, as follows, to wit, that Lady, Mrs. Woodhull, did the cause of spiritualism some harm, no doubt. We, as spirits, do not teach free love as that lady advocated and as the enemies of spiritualism charge, but we do teach people to love one another, regardless of sex relations, in the spirit of philanthropy, not in the spirit of lust. We teach that there is but one true affinity for each soul. But there is a pure philanthropic love that goes out for all people of whatever color, race, nationality or sex, and it is in this sense we say to all, love ye one another. 666. As I have not the opportunity of remaining or occupying much in your sphere, I am not familiar with all that goes on therein. I am more engaged elsewhere than in the Earth sphere, but during the past week I had an opportunity of looking over your country a little, and I find that there is much discussion going on amongst the people concerning spiritualism. People of science are turning their attention to it to solve for them the problem of another life, and seriously discussing whether, after all, spirit communion may not be a fact, and on the whole, the cause of spiritualism is making progress throughout your land. What we tell you is what we know, is what we have, by diligent research, found to be fact. Why not accept what we tell you of our country and its conditions and inhabitants? Or do you suppose that what some people say, who were never here or who never heard from any inhabitant of the spirit world, is more likely true than what we, who are here, tell you? If you desire to know something about the conditions existing in some mine that is far underground, would you go to a person who was never in the mine and who never saw or heard speak anyone who ever was in the mine, in preference to one who is in the mine every day as a daily toiler therein, to learn the truth about that mine? Would you believe the man who knows or the man who has only opinion? 667. Just so with us and concerning the spirit life. What we are trying to give you is what we know, what we find out by investigation, as to modes of travel, subsistence, learning and all things pertaining to life in the spirit world. We pursue our investigations here, same as on earth, we do not stop in spirit life, and when you get here you can go on with favorite pursuits, you can hold your circles and learn from spirits higher than you, if you should so desire, when you shall have reached this land of infinite opportunities. John C. Calhoun 668. Next engage the attention of the circle in a few well-spoken remarks as follows, to wit, you are doing a grand good work here, a work that your world is much in need of, much better than political wrangling. You should let politics alone. The more you dabble in politics the worse you are off. Your country was in much better condition 50 years ago than it is today. I want to tell the people to get out of politics and stay out. First politics is a Democrat, then your politics get corrupt and you change the name and call politics Republican, and now you are getting tired of that name for it, and next thing we shall hear you have named it socialist, but it is the same politics all the time. Changing the name does no good. It takes bread out of the children's mouths by whatever name. Go on and make your people better and you will have better politics. And that is the only way, therefore, keep away from politics. Politics makes lying, cheating, stealing, robbing, plunder, murder, war, respectable, and makes the people bow to them all. Oh, friends of Earth! If you could see as I do, your politics would soon cease, and instead of feeding your lives and labor and the things of your country, and your world itself, to politics, you would soon begin to return all these things to man, and to the children of men. Why, it makes me sad to approach your world and see so much crime, misery and debauchery. I wish that I had power to divert the mind of man for one little moment away from politics, to get the world to see how much of its energies are wasted on account of politics. 669. It is sad to think, to know, that so many thousands of little ones of the children of Earth do need bread, do need the things of earth that nature provided for them, but are turned away from them by the selfish greed of politics, and the little ones need bread, and the old ones need bread, and the unfortunate ones need bread, and the laborer that makes the bread needs bread, and Mother Nature has provided an abundance for all but man. Politics provides a way of justifiable robbery, and compels the starving, needy ones to assist politics in its awful red-handed spoliation or unequal and unjust distribution of the bounties of nature. The compensation, a handwriting by Tyner. 670. After Calhoun had gone away, there came to view, at the writing desk, a spirit who took up a tablet and wrote, and handed to the secretary, an essay in these words, to wit, the misery, the pain, the wickedness of the world you would fain leave out. You do not realize that, if you had never suffered, you could not enjoy happiness. If you had not tasted bitterness, you could not appreciate sweetness. If you knew only one color, you would know no color. In a happy world there must be sorrow and pain. Evil is indispensable to a moral world. Very few, however, seem to notice these simple facts. They rejoice in their happiness or bemoan their sorrow, forgetting that their happiness is a result of their sorrow. A. You have so many things in your daily life to be thankful for. B. Man is naturally a social animal. He cannot live, successfully, without society of his kind. 671. It is this natural feeling that has built up such strong fraternal organizations upon earth, and it is this that has been the means of perfecting the mighty organizations in the spirit world. A. Spirits who have suffered greatly while upon earth or in the spirit world, are always found to be ready, willing workers. Their troubles have purified them and placed them in a position where they are able to feel for others. B. The laws of the universe are wise and helpful as long as you keep in harmony with them. C. The struggles of life are full of deep ethical purposes, and in the ages to come, you will see the results. Humanity purified. D. If each one would make himself responsible not only for himself but others. How many large firms and corporations are paying men beggarly wages to handle large sums of money? They are simply provoking crime for paltry gain, and should be punished instead of the embezzlers. 672. You have no just right to tempt a man beyond endurance. Think of how many sad cases where a father is working, and working hard, to give his children the necessaries of life and is handling, every day, large sums of money. We think that it speaks well for the morals of men that more are not embezzlers. Long and bitter are the struggles many have, before they appropriate money that does not belong to them. If they only knew that some near and dear once stood by their side and witnessed their weakness, we know they would do differently. When men understand these things, they will not wantonly tempt each other. Signed, Tina. 673. Then there appeared before the circle the spirits Margaret Dayton, Mr. Stoddard, Lady Madeline, who says she is to pose for her picture at next séance. Then some Oriental, wearing a turban, picks up the trumpet, but speaks only a few unintelligible words, and one Josiah, through the trumpet, very loudly, "Have you anything to say to me this evening?" Told the whole world, "I guess I shall have to get more strength." Then Talleyrand, Mozart, the poet Holmes, and Peter Cooper. Seance number 40, November 13, 1902, 674. Present is the regular circle, C. V. N. House and his wife B. House, Dr. Sehus, Miss May Cook, Mrs. J. B. Lamb, Charles Reader and Lawrence Reader, and as visitors, Mr. Claude Whiteside and his wife, and Mrs. Ella of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Minutes of previous meeting read and approved, and when the members were seated in seance room, behold, there appeared unto them two men which were the spirits Dr. Reed and Professor William Denton, talking unto them about what they might expect at this seance, and when these two men had gone away, there came forth the spirit operator of the typewriter, who received a dictation from one calling himself Emmerich, the sailor. 675. And as the dictation and writing thereof proceeded, the circle could, and did hear the dictating spirit continuously talking to the operator, and occasionally, the operator would stop the machine and ask the dictator to restate something, and then saying, "All right, sir," would start the machine off at a very rapid rate, and the whole time of the writing, including stops, for dictator to repeat, and for exchange of writing sheets, was 10 minutes. Not quite half of the time was used at writing. There were 70 lines of the writing and 12 words to the line, making 175 words per minute at the actual writing, and except the heading, the following is a true copy of the writing, to wit, "Experience of a Sailor Who Went Down with His Ship During a Storm at Sea." 676. My friends, I have been in the spirit world for many years, and the few thoughts I am able to give you tonight, I sincerely hope may serve to give you an insight into the spiritual condition of one who passed out as I did. It is unfair to judge a man by what he has accomplished. The judgment, to be fair, should consider the environments and the capacity of the individual, and above all, should consider what he has strived after. A. I was the captain of a sailing vessel, and when far out at sea, I was accustomed to think deeply of the problems of life. 677. I was not a Christian. The whole doctrine seemed incongruous to me. To think of damning a man for profanity, when a stronger, truer heart, never beat under royal skin, and save some landlubber who had put in at every port of sin, and who had repented before the final voyage, was not the justice I expected from the Creator of all things. A meeting with many races of people caused me to draw sharp contrasts, and often they were to the discredit of civilized countries. B. I was no better than many other seafaring men, though the question of another life may have been of more importance to me than to many of my companions. How many upon earth try in vain to catch a glimpse of some friendly sail that may right them in their course, only to be disappointed by a grey sky and dark waters. 678. Much has been said of the majesty of a storm at sea, yet, I am inclined to think, there are few, if any, who could see any majesty in a storm, if they were out in it. I went down at sea, as many have before and since, and in that dark night of storm and deadly peril, I do not think that any of my shipmates appreciated, and I am sure that I did not appreciate the majesty of the storm. 679. With all of her canvas closely reet, the ship seemed like a living thing, battling for life. Lurching, groaning, rising to meet the wind as it bore her down. A phosphorescent glow, lighting the rigging in places, gave us no hope, but served to make the faces of the men more ghastly. At last the cry of, "The ship is sinking," began to pass from mouth to mouth. With all of our small boats destroyed, we had little hopes of rescue. Some tried to save themselves by clinging to the wreckage, but it was a hopeless struggle and the ship's crew went down with the vessel they had loved so well. 680. My first thought, upon returning to consciousness, was of the beauty of Davy Jones's locker. I had been in strange lands often before, but I had never been in one as beautiful as the spirit world. I began to make search for the others, but many I did not find, until long afterward. 681. The people of Earth owe a debt of gratitude to men who are brave enough to take long sea voyages and bring to them the luxuries and beauties of many lands. The improvements in means of travel have been as great upon the sea as upon the land. A seaman's life makes him feel how small a part he is of creation. And this feeling, if directed in the right channel, will make him a noble man. I am interested in the sailor and would be pleased to see more homes upon land for him. Places where he can feel at home and out of reach of the grog shop. Men whose wealth has been the result of interest in foreign countries, should endow homes for sailors, places of rest and recreation for sailors on shore leave, and in this way, show their gratitude to a class of men who have been great factors in their wealth. 682. There are bad men among seafaring men, the same as in every walk of life, and these men will get just what they have striven for, when they reach this side. Progress is a development, and is far-reaching in results and will reach the sailor as well as the minister. 683. I am still unable to decide which is the nobler calling, to endeavor to pilot souls or rescue men so that they may in time pilot their own souls. One is a mistaken calling, no matter how sincerely it is entered into, the other is full of pleasure for others. 684. In this world each must depend upon his own resources and look to no one but himself to better his condition. He may keep out on the high seas, but sooner or later he will seek a harbor. In eternity there is no need of haste, charters do not run out, and if a man desires to be in a dark condition, he has no one to consult but himself. 685. My friends, you will find it is much easier to get your correct bearings in earth life, than to wait until you reach the spirit world. Enjoy yourselves. But, if you do so at the expense of others, you will find that the enjoyment will not be lasting. Signed, Enric Denton said. 686. Some are endowed by nature with certain faculties in predominance, others, with certain other faculties predominating, and their habits and dispositions are directed according to these endowments. So, we find some in low conditions, of choice. Place such in higher conditions and they are not content there, and will not stay, but go back to the plane of low conditions. 687. The way to lead on a reform to higher conditions on earth is, to make different children make conditions that will make future children better. Place around children, and prospective children, good conditions and make such conditions permanent, and the children will gradually grow to better men and women.